بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فوالله لئن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله. All praises be to Allah. We seated here with that concern for deen. This incident took place long before Umar radiallahu anhu could enter the fold of Islam. So he was on a business trip to Syria. He came across one monk in a monastery. That monk took care of Umar radiallahu anhu, and all the time he was looking at him in a strange manner. Then he explained himself. He tells Umar radiallahu anhu, all the Christians, they know I'm the most learned when it comes to the scriptures, our books. And based on the knowledge I have, I feel you are the one who will remove us from this land of ours. And then that monk, he tells Umar radiallahu anhu, sign an agreement promising that no one will interfere with this monastery. I will be allowed to remain here. Umar radiallahu anhu tells that monk, what are you saying? You're certainly mistaken. That monk insisted and got the signature. So the Christians, they always knew that Umar radiallahu anhu will conquer Baitul Muqaddas. Years later, that day came. Umar radiallahu anhu, he's leaving Madina Munawara as the conqueror of Baitul Muqaddas. But the real beauty was that entire journey. It was full of simplicity, humility. Umar radiallahu anhu, the clothing he was wearing was simple. The animal he was riding was simple. It was a long journey, so the clothes got dirty. The collar was torn. So he asked for it to be washed and stitched. They gave him new clothing. Umar radiallahu anhu, when his old one was washed and stitched, he put that on again. On reaching, he comes across a stream, water. Understand, he's Amirul Mu'minin, the leader of the believers, the conqueror. Look how simple. He comes down from the animal, removes his shoes, places them under his armpit. And now he's walking through the water, leading the animal. Outwardly, it wasn't in keeping with majesty, glory of a conqueror. But on this occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu, he made a historic statement, not just to be written in gold, to be engraved on our hearts. So he addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he tells them, once upon a time, you were the most disgraced of nations. Allah gave you respect because of Islam. Now, no matter how much you look for respect in other ways besides Islam, Allah will disgrace you. Understand, our respect lies in Islam. any other way. That's our disgrace. Our identity. Honor is when someone sees me. That's a Muslim. That's honor. Don't ever shy away. Don't try to hide the identity. I'm a Muslim. It should never happen that someone sees me and he can't even recognize who's this. Now the Muslim generals come to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. They were wearing very fine clothing. Umar radiallahu anhu picked up some stones to hit them. So they got surprised. Amirul Mu'mineen, what are you doing? So he scolded them. And he told them, so quickly, and you've changed from your ways, so quickly, and you're affected by the ways of those around you. You have been here only for 2 years, and already you've been eaten by this culture. Even if you were here for 200 years, and if you were eaten by this culture, I will replace you. You're not fit to be my commanders. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they put Umar radiallahu anhum at ease. They told him that the clothing we're wearing is a covering, camouflage. Underneath we're hiding our weapons. So Umar radiallahu anhum was pleased that his companions weren't eaten by the environment. On this point, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi, he mentions more or less outstanding regarding Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not their victories. Unfortunately, that's our definition. Physical victory in the battle. It goes much deeper. So Mawlana says further, outstanding in Sahaba radiallahu anhum was, although at that time they were coming from a civilization which was regarded so backward, and they were facing the two superpowers of the time, Roman Empire, Persian Empire, but outstanding was, they were never influenced by their culture. Wherever they went, they maintain their identity. So it's just not outside. The man internally, mentally, spiritually, is so strong and firm that no nation, no condition, no fashion can shake him and change him. The man understands, I have sunnat, the way of my Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the highest. Everything else is deficient. Nevertheless, Umar radiallahu anhu gave a lengthy talk. I'll mention a few points. One point he mentioned was, he said, make akhirat, year after, your main worry. Ask ourselves, when last did the word year after come on my tongue? Ibrahim Saliji Sahib explains, he says, to the extent I forgot akhirat hereafter, to that extent every little of the world will hurt me, frustrate me, depress me. I forgot the hereafter. Then Mufti Sahib explains further, he says, average man today wakes up in the morning, working, eating, and then sleeping, next morning, same cycle. And then he comes in at a point in his life. He says, there's no meaning. I've got nothing to live for. And the Mufti Sahib says further, football ground, there's no goal post. What the players will do, dribble, dribble, and what they after, there's no goal. Put a goal post. Now there's direction. If a game got no meaning, if there's no goal, we're not playing a game. We are living, this is life. If there's no Allah and Akhirat in front of me, there's no Creator, there's no hereafter, my life got no meaning. There's nothing to live for. Ask the average man today, what's going through the heart? It's a hollow, empty feeling. Because the man forgot, he's got no goal. So the question is, how do I know where I'm inclining? When there's a clash, dunya akhirat, the world, the year after, see what we give preference to. My trill is ringing, muazzin is calling. The year after is my goal, I leave the job, I go for the salah. I'm about to sign the insurance form. Then it hits my heart. Wait a minute now. This is interest gambling. I'm more interested in securing my year after instead of securing a temporary. And he cancels the form. Akhirat, year after, the main worry. Then Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned another point. He says, never be alone with a strange woman. Shaitan is the third one. Ask the man who trusted himself what happened. In that second, that moment, that beauty captured my heart, gripped it. Intelligence switched off. What I did thereafter, my entire life I'm still paying for it and regretting. Because I trusted myself too much. It's simple. Admit. Oh Allah, my weakness. I ask you forgiveness. Don't make stories for ourselves. That no, my heart is clean. I got no feeling. No feeling, then lighter note, we need to go to the Hakim Sahib. Go to the doctor, something definitely wrong somewhere. That she's there and I got no feeling. Then Umar Adil mentioned, that person whose good deeds please him and bad deeds grieve him, that person is a true believer. This is a very easy way, quick way to test my iman. A true believer who does sin feels bad. If I'm looking at wrong, in the wrong, and there's no guilt and bad in the heart, no feeling of what I'm doing, that's a warning. I need to quickly make some effort on my iman. One more point Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned was, he said, more or less, the person given position, his main duty is to make sure those under him are fulfilling the commands of Allah. I am a father in the home. I have to see to my children going to the madrasa. As a father, to bring one son to the masjid, you know what we've done? See what's happening around. The average youngster who's faced with some test, he almost goes into depression, contemplating suicide. He's got no support structure. There's no creator in his life, no salah, nothing to hold on to. As a father, I failed in linking my son to the masjid, the house of Allah. The average home, there's a complaint. Mulana, what do we do? It's a war. Fighting, swearing, shouting. There's no loving, there's no caring. A few things to do. One is, when we enter the home, we should say, Assalamu alaikum, enter with salam. Number two, when we enter, at least say, Bismillah. Enter with the name of Allah. Salam, Bismillah. Then, that home itself must be alive with salah, Quran recitation. And as a family, we sit together and do three things together. One is ta'lim, that kitab reading, fazail amal. One Mulana was explaining, when marriage problems come up to him, so now wife got 30 complaints against the husband, husband got 20 against the wife. So the Mulana says, these are big figures now, 20, 30, where do I start? So he tells the brother, look here, leave the 30, 20 one side, I give you one. He gives him a kitab, Fazaila Amal. Read it for 1 week and come back thereafter. He says, without fail, with the command of Allah, the man comes back after 1 week, the zeros have fallen off. Now it's 2, 3 little issues remaining. That home as a family, that ta'lim, reading about Allah, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then number two, as a family, make some zikr. Some la ilaha illallah, some astaghfirullah, some durud sharif. And then as a family together, make some dua. One day I make the dua, one day ask the child to make the dua. We'll be surprised what innocent duas come out from those beautiful hearts. So that home. Now coming to the historic moment, entering Baitul Maqaddas. Long journey. The animal was tired. Umar radiallahu anhu asked for another conveyance. The horse was brought. He gets onto the horse. As the horse is moving, Umar radiallahu anhu could sense and feel, this horse is moving with pride. So he jumps off. He asks for his old animal again. Now this is what you call monitor on the heart. One is, I don't have pride. Here Umar radiallahu anhu was not prepared to ride an animal that's moving with pride. Pride is a killer. It's destroying my marriage life. In fact, one husband 2 weeks ago, when he told me that, I got very happy with him. He said, Mulana, I admit, I'm a proud character. That's why I can't stomach my wife's flowery words. I'm too proud. Beauty is humility. Otherwise, life becomes a misery in marriage, workplace, everywhere. I'm too proud. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi says, one sign of pride is the man, he gets angry all the time over everything. Proud man. He's so proud, only my way. No other way. Angry all the time. Beauty is humility. Beauty is modesty. And that's a gift that the Muslim has. Disbeliever is very far away from the word modesty. In dressing, in visiting, in going, wherever. I got shame. I'm not at a place with people where there's shamelessness. I got modesty. Beauty is simplicity. Be simple. That wastage and extravagance, I'm a slave to names. I must have the name. Be simple. Beauty is sincerity. A day come in a man's life, he says, I'm tired now. This show business. My status, my. Everyone must see me. I'm tired now. Come on to sincerity. Live for one creator. One Allah. It's such a beautiful life. Umar radiallahu anhu entered Baitul Maqaddas through the same door that Nabi Sallam entered on the night of Mi'raj. He performed Salah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. I just want to end off with Chaka Scroll. This happened some months back. 2:30 in the morning, that simple Malawian worker was shot, passed away. What were his last words? That too, a camera which was tens of meters away picked up his last words. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and he passed away. Now ask anyone here, who wants to die like that? We'll say, Mawlana, I'm ready now for that. Now listen, We don't realize sometimes these simple are working for us sometimes. And we ill-treat them, swearing them, underpaying them, thinking they can't report me. Okay, they can't report me here, but if they report me there, in front of Allah, Judgment Day, what answer do I have? So how I'm treating those around me? Allah give us the correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. You can come closer and fill in the gaps, inshallah.
Brothers, before you start your salah, fill up all the gaps from the front. Standing. There's a lot of space here in the front as well. There's space on my right hand side, on your left hand side. Let all the brothers from the back come in as well, please.